Hey guys, and welcome to the Money Podcast. I'm your host, Stacy Johnson. And this podcast is brought to you by MoneyTalksNews.com, serving up the best in personal finance news and advice since 1991. Today, we are going to talk to Pam Krueger. Pam is one of my old friends. She's been in the same business I've been in, financial advice, for decades now. And Pam is going to introduce us to a way to find great investment advice. Pam, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Stacy. We've known each other a long time.
It has been a long time. You know, when it was time for my parents to retire, their chief concern was where to park their travel trailer. Their home and cars, they were paid off. Their pensions were plentiful, their needs few. What a difference a generation makes. These days, pensions are disappearing, medical costs are ridiculous, and you can't earn squat at the bank. And that's why I designed a course developed specifically to help you win your retirement. It's called The Only Retirement Guide You'll Ever Need. Among other things, you're going to learn a simple, proven system to destroy all your debts, how to know you won't outlive your money, and how to score up to $12,000 more every year in Social Security. And that's just for starters. Do you want to win your retirement? Then go to MoneyTalksNews.com and look for the Academy button at the top of the page. That's MoneyTalksNews.com, then click on Academy. MoneyTalksNews.com, Academy. You're going to be glad you did this. I guarantee it. Pam, for those now, we did a podcast together before about the fiduciary rule and how investment advisors you have to ask them certain questions to be trusted and all that sort of thing. But just in case people didn't hear you before, give us a real brief version of your background.
Yeah, sure. So when I started out in the brokerage world, working at a brokerage firm at age 24. I really figured out pretty quickly I was really a telemarketer selling investments to people, and it didn't feel right to me. And I actually wanted to get fired, but I didn't get fired. I got promoted. When I got promoted, I was only 28. So I was managing a bunch of brokers. And I just noticed, Stacy, that the worse they behaved and the more aggressive they were selling consumers and investors, the more money I made as their manager. I didn't like it. I got out of it. I became more of an investor advocate, created a series on PBS called Money Track. And Money Track was on 255 of the PBS stations. And I worked in partnership with securities regulators. And the whole point was to educate Americans about what works and what doesn't work at the end of the day when it comes to investing, managing money, saving it, etc.
So you are quite the expert in this arena. And now tell me, when it comes to seeking out qualified investment advice, what doesn't work?
What doesn't work is fear, being driven by fear and concern that you don't know anything, you're powerless, that the investment advisor that you've either been referred to or that you're going to look up, try to find somebody online, or you've gotten a name somewhere is going to be so much more knowledgeable and they're going to know so much more than you. They're going to talk down to you. And therefore, you're coming from a real point of weakness. That's what not to do. You do not want to be powerless when you choose an advisor.
Well, you know, though, Pam, that sounds kind of weird to me because it seems like I'm not going to go into the doctor's office and have more knowledge than he has. I mean, or she has. I'm still going to be intimidated, right? I mean, that's why I'm paying them, because they're smart.
Well, first of all, we're not comparing an apple to an apple because a doctor is held to a standard, and you have probably done a little bit of homework to know that he or she is actually a doctor, a medical doctor. So yeah, you're going to make an assumption and you're going to have a comfort level because probably, I'm just guessing, call me crazy, but I know that before I go into a specialist or a doctor of any kind, I'm going to look a little bit and get a sense of who that person is. And I'm not going to walk in there feeling intimidated, but the advice industry is different. You know, when I say coming from fear, it's usually like, oh, I don't know anything. So I'm not even going to do my homework. I don't know how to do my homework. I'm just going to go with the name that somebody gave me. Bernie Madoff. Sounds good to me. You know what I'm saying? You don't do any homework because you're afraid, because you don't know how to do the homework. Very different. When you're going to go to a dentist, you're going to find out a little bit about that dentist before you go in.
Yeah, and at least with a doctor or a dentist, we know that they're licensed by the state. We know they've achieved some level of proficiency or they wouldn't have achieved that license. We don't know that necessarily with somebody who's offering us financial advice.
Unfortunately, it's the case. It's an industry, financial advice and financial services. It is not to be confused with a profession. It's not a lawyer. It's not a doctor. You know, it's everybody, anybody pretty much can call himself or herself a financial advisor simply by passing a fairly simple exam and or getting hired at a brokerage firm like I did at age 24. You know, that gives you a hint right there. That I was all of a sudden qualified to be, you know, helping people manage their portfolios without any experience at all. You know, it doesn't make any sense. So you're right. It's all over the map. And so therefore, consumers have to have the power by educating themselves enough so that they don't just get a name and walk blindly into the advisor's office, assuming, oh, well, you know everything. I know nothing. Go ahead and take over my money.
Yeah. Well, and you know, we were talking the last time we had you on, we were talking about how these guys you and I both worked in this profession or this business, and we were telephone solicitors. And that's what these guys are a lot of the time. They really don't necessarily have a lot of knowledge, but which is weird because their companies are huge. And so you would think that they'd be trustworthy, you know? They've been around for a long time.
Yeah, they've got the big brand name and they've been dominating Wall Street for 80 years. And when you hear the names, you kind of go, ooh, well, that must be a really good firm. But, you know, what you don't understand, there's no reason for anybody to understand it, is that behind the black box is a sales machine. It's not an advice machine. It's a sales machine. And they're held to a different standard as we've been reading about. And people are finally opening their eyes and realizing that, you know, those are salespeople. And that there's only a really small swath of real advisors who are independent of brokerage firms, who really work only and directly for you, the consumer. And even then, when you narrow down that number, which might be 50,000 individual advisors across the country who are independent, doesn't mean they're competent. So there's a heck of a lot of pre-screening that you can do as a consumer. You can do it yourself all online.
Actually, Pam, it almost sounds like you're telling me that I can't trust these people. I can't get professional advice. I got to learn it all myself because I can't trust anybody that I talk to. That's not what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, you know, absolutely you can't trust. It's an industry based on trust, and you can't trust anybody. So you know what I always say? This is a good one. I like to say, you know how the old axiom goes, trust but verify?
Yeah, there you go.
I like to say, Stacey, is verify. Then trust.
Even better. Okay, now that brings us into what you're now doing for a living. You're the CEO of a new company. Tell us about that company.
Well, I really appreciate the fact that you want me to talk about WealthRamp, which is my baby, my brainchild. But you know, really, my website, WealthRamp, is a service that vets independent advisors who are fee only and fiduciary, and I screen them down. To the point where I have drilled down so that if I were looking at a report card for myself, I can say in good conscience that I'm so proud of every advisor that I have vetted because I'm paranoid. I don't like advisors. So this is a business that I created for people to find advisors, and born out of my dislike and disrespect for advisors.
Now, and by the way, I want to tell everyone who's listening to this too, that I am not shilling for Pam. Pam is somebody that I've known for a very long time, but I'm asking her to discuss her business because her business is awesome. This is something that's really needed. People need to be able to turn to a source where they can find trustworthy advice. And like Pam, I can tell you for an absolute fact, because I worked in this business for 10 years, that there's not a lot of trustworthy people out there. But Pam, you know, before we get too deep into this, though, I want to say there's two different kinds of investment advisors out there. There's one that charges you a fee per hour, like a lawyer or a CPA would do. And then there's one that gets commissions. Is that a division that we can safely make?
Yeah. And I think the way I want you to visualize that is that there are two types of advisors that play by two different rules. And the advisors who are collecting commissions or are getting kickbacks so that they get paid to sell one fund over another fund, because they're going to make more money if they sell you mutual fund A versus ETF B. So they either work for you or they don't. And if they're not wholly fee only, they really don't work just for you. Their best interest is not aligned. There's a conflict there. You can eliminate that conflict. You do not have to deal with an advisor who is either fee-based or commission. Just right from the get-go, just rule them out. Believe me, there are a lot of good people. Some of my best friends might be fee-based advisors listening to this, and they're going to kill me for saying this. I'm sorry, but it's the truth. They know it, and I know it. The advisors that I want consumers to seek out are advisors who can look you straight in the eye and put it in writing that they're fully fiduciary, 100%, and they work only and directly for you, and you're the only source of their compensation.
But now I have to say, though, Pam, when I'm giving people advice, and I've written I don't know how many articles on this topic, but I always say, get a fee-based advisor. Do not ever, ever go to a commission-based financial advisor if you can help it. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, except there's kind of like a further clarification, because there's such a thing as fee-only or fee-based. And it sounds like we're splitting hairs, but we're not. Because really, fee only is where you want to be. Fee only means just that. And it's just so important that you're on the same page with the advisor and that you know that they're not getting kickbacks from funds. So there can be somebody who is a fee-based advisor, Stacey, who's mostly getting paid. Let's say it's like 60-40. 60% of their compensation comes from the advice fees that you're paying. Your money is over at Schwab or TD, you know that. They're not keeping your money. These independent advisors don't house your money. That money is over at the custodian. But you're paying for their advice. Now, let's just say that fee-based advisor gets 40% of his or her compensation from, if I do sell fund A instead of fund B, God, I'm going to get a kickback on that one. So how can I not be influenced by that? I'm incentivized to sell the one that's going to give me the kickback. And I can do both because I am both a registered investment advisor at the same time. I still kept my salesman license. So that's a fee-based advisor. Can be 50-50. You know, there are cases where, you know, somebody might say to me, oh, Pam, you're such a jerk. You know, what if somebody, you know, has de minimis commissions from something that they did, you know, or they had to because the client really wanted this product and it had a commission. Then I say, okay, you know, I'm not ridiculous. I say, yeah, you know, there's room for that because that person's not making their living and they're not making any big portion of their living, you know, by selling products. So that's why we go for the pure fee only versus the fee based. Because the fee base can be double dipping.
Oh, you've clarified this for me too, because even though I've known about this stuff for a long time, I actually was not aware of some of the things you just said. So basically what we're saying is everybody's going to end up going to WealthRamp, but for those who don't, we should say, if you're going to seek out financial advice, you want a fee only advisor, period. True?
Absolutely true. Why should you even have to choose from everything else? Because out of 500,000 advisors and say 50,000 of them are independent and are operating, you know, as fiduciaries, and say, you know, half of that group are fee-based and still get some commissions and so forth. And then you're down to a tiny, really small number. You're talking about maybe 15,000 RIAs, registered investment advisors, totally independent, totally fee only, and really truly need to be vetted for competency. So if you know that you have that small list to shop from, why would you bother getting all mixed up with others?
So we want fee only, but we want more than just fee only. We want to know that the fee only people are also as smart as they can possibly be, right?
Yeah, because someone is fee only and just because they're fiduciary and they've been in the business for 30 years and et cetera, and you got the name from your your aunt, and you know, she's had a great relationship. I've interviewed advisors, Stacey, where I've been like almost like told, like, Pam, this advisor is A plus on a report card. You got to have them on your platform. And then what happens? I go into the interview because I insist. I'm kind of a jerk. I insist on interviewing every advisor because I'm paranoid. So when I'm talking to them, guess what I learn? I find out, oh yeah, you know, I'm out on the golf course 3 days a week and I got my clients on autopilot. You know, this is the software I use and it's perfect. I don't need to do anything. Do you think I want that advisor on my platform?
Yeah.
That advisor is asleep at the switch. Maybe 20 years ago, you know, that advisor was the best thing in town. But it's 20 years later, and now that advisor's out playing golf. And they're not even paying attention to things that are happening. I want energy. I want to see energy going into the financial planning. My favorite advisors are the ones who, when I interview them, they say things like, oh, you know, I don't like this software that does retirement planning because it's missing these certain things that are so important to people. And so therefore I made up my own spreadsheets to make up the difference. You know, they're thinking, they're energetic, and they actually want to do fabulous work. Those are the real advisors, and they are not easy to find.
Well, you know, and this is a perfect segue, obviously, to get back into WealthRamp, because the idea here is let's make sure that everybody understands where we're going here. There's 500,000 advisors out there. There's 50,000 that are partially fee-based. There's 15,000 that are only fee-based, fee-only advisors, and that's where we want to go. And now Pam has developed a method to strain those, or to filter those 15,000 advisors into one that you can actually reach out to and feel confident is going to have your best interests at heart and is smart enough to perform on your behalf. Right?
Yeah, because I've screened them myself. That's why it took me so long to build WealthRamp. And even my own family was yelling at me and saying, when are you going to get this business fully rolled out? And because it took me 3 years. Well, of course it's going to take that long. I have to thoughtfully add each individual advisor and firm, and I have to vet them thoroughly to make sure.
Let's talk a little more about that, Pam, because, you know, when you're online these days, I mean, let's say you're going to go look for a mortgage and they'll say, well, here's the best mortgages you can get. You know, I mean, everybody's got this on their site, including us at MoneyTalksNews.com. You know, here's the best savings rates. Here's the best mortgage rates. In other words, they're saying, we're going to filter this stuff for you. But often it's really not filtered at all. I mean, there's a lot of services out there that say, you know, well, we've done a lot of vetting. You know, you're going to get the best possible, you know, whatever it is. Prove to me that you're actually vetting these people. What are you saying to them? How are you eliminating some of these people?
Okay, so number one, we're looking at the compliance records. So we want to look at the very highest level, at the first step. Let's screen out things that we don't like that we see on their, it's called ADV, their filings, that they're on each profile on WealthRamp. I put the records right there. And I want to teach people what to look for. You want to look for disclosures. You want to look for conflicts of interest. You want to look at their fees. You want to look at where they get, all the different ways they get paid. So even if I've been referred to someone who's fee only, I want to make sure myself that that really is the case. And it's got to be in the filings, that their annual filings to the SEC. And if they violate that, then they're really, you know, they're at risk of losing their business. So they're not going to violate that. Fine. And then the next step is, you know, I'm looking at their websites, getting a feel for who they are. I look at each person in the firm. So even if it's Stacey Johnson is the advisor, right? I want to look and I want to see the other people. I want to know the backstory. How did this firm come together? Were you guys a bunch of high-flying brokers at Merrill Lynch and you left, you know, 20 years ago to start because you saw the light and you realized that that wasn't a good model? And I want to know, every advisory firm is going to have a story. I want to know the story. Where are you and who are you from? Like, where are you from? Where were you before all of this? And then when I get that all pulled together, the picture starts to form. It's like a mosaic for me. It starts to come together. And then if I say, I like what I'm seeing, if I don't like what I'm seeing at that point, you're gone. I'm not interested. And then the next level is for me to get on the phone and do a personal interview or in person, face-to-face, to do an interview with that advisor. And that's where I drill down and I ask a zillion questions. Some of them are hard and some of them are soft, meaning I want to know a lot about how you interact with your clients, aside from seeing portfolios and understanding how you perform your financial planning services. But Stacey, at the end of the day, the reason that I can say that I'm proud of every advisor is because this whole business that I'm building is I'm asking people to trust me, and I'm screwed the day that someone gets matched with one of the advisors they met through me. And I don't care if it's a personality difference and you don't like the advisor's hair, but you're not going to find that with my vetting and my revetting that there are going to be, issues that anybody could possibly know, unless, the advisor goes crazy and goes postal. But other than that, you see how we're screening. We're just screening it down. And now I'm starting to work with employee benefits and companies that are trusting me to help their employees find fiduciary fee-only advisors who have been vetted. So I can't afford that. I don't benefit. That's the other thing. I don't benefit by adding a lot more advisors. I benefit by having the right advisors, because the way I get paid, and this is important, you want to know, well, how does Pam get paid?
I was just going to ask you that.
There you go. I get paid once I am SEC registered. So I'm an RIA. So I bring in, a client comes into me and they get matched. And then at the point in time when that client is going to sign on and begin to pay that advisor, let's say it's you, you have to pay me a fee from your fee. You have to pay me a portion of that fee, because that's only fair, because you met that person through me. But here's the caveat. You, by contract, are not allowed to bump up the client fee and make it different because you had to pay me something. No. You have to pay me out of your pocket. So it has to come out of the advisor's fee, the fee share. So that way it's a proper fee share. And to me, that's the best way to align everybody's interests in this. And I love to be fully transparent about that, because I want everybody to know and understand. I eat my own cooking. How do I get paid? That's how I get paid. So I don't benefit by adding a lot more advisors on.
How many people have you screened? How many people do you have in your database?
About 250, 250. Yeah, we're in about 75% of the country, and we're not in Nebraska yet, but we're trying to basically slowly, thoughtfully, vet some advisors who are in Nebraska. There's some states where we're just not there yet. So we're in, like, I'd say we're about 78% of the country right now. But we're in all the major metro areas. We have advisors who have been vetted.
That's kind of awesome. Now, this is something I was going to ask you too, though, because a lot of people want to have face-to-face, right? I myself, doesn't matter much, but let's say that you really want to have a vetted advisor in virtually every city if you can, right?
Yeah. Now, most people who want to meet with an advisor do want to meet face-to-face, but let's say that face-to-face means that it's going to be a four-hour drive. Oh man, drive 4 hours? Well, what if you're a mom who has a child on the autism spectrum? Do you think I want you to get matched with an advisor at the strip mall down the street? Or do you think I want you to get matched with a true specialist in special needs planning who doesn't sell insurance? So it's very important that people know that these advisors, a lot of times, will have relationships across states. So someone in Ohio who's a registered investment advisor is a specialist and could get matched with that woman who's in Pennsylvania, because he has clients in all those states. So you can meet in person, even if you're not doing the driving. Now, I do recommend that at least once. I feel more comfortable when people see an advisor at least once in the advisor's office and in that environment. So you kind of get a feel for who else is working there and all that. But most of the time with us on WealthRamp, you're going to meet an advisor who's maybe within, an hour, maybe, or it's going to be within an hour's drive, but sometimes it's 2 hours. And I have had people who have asked me that, who have said to me, Pam, this advisor is 75 miles away. Don't you have anybody closer? And my answer is, No, not for what you want. Not if you want fee only. Not if you want competent. Not if you want vetted. Sorry. Yeah.
Hi, everyone. Aaron here. Could you use an extra $991? Yeah, I sure could. $991. Believe it or not, that is the average amount our newsletter subscribers report saving every year. Our totally free Money Talks newsletter is stuffed with actionable advice and tips to help boost your savings and slash your expenses. It only takes 2 seconds to subscribe. Just go to moneytalksnews.com. You'll see the sign up right there on the homepage. Do it now, and you'll also get a free ebook, 208 Ways to Save Money Every Day. I've used this book. It's great. That alone is a $15 value. So let's recap. $991 to gain, nothing to lose. Subscribe right now at moneytalksnews.com. That's moneytalksnews.com. I'll also put that link in our show notes. Sign up now. You'll be glad you did.
It's interesting. And, you know, by the way, there's another, there are other services out there who recommend financial advisors. You may not be aware of this, Pam, but I know that Dave Ramsey recommends financial advisors, and they're commissioned. Or, and I don't know if they're all commissioned, but some of them are. And, you know, that's kind of a model that I don't like. I like what you're saying, which is, of course, why you're here and he's not on this podcast. But there are other places that recommend advisors, but they don't do the thorough vetting and they don't use fee only like you do, correct?
Well, there's a reason that my face is on the front of it. And there's a reason that I became registered with the SEC myself. I'm willing to put myself out there and I'm willing to take this risk that if I'm asking you to trust me, that, you know, I'm not going anywhere and my face and my name are on this. So I'm not like a website. It's like, it's really me. I really care about making sure that you're going to get the right advisor. And the fact that I don't need 1,000 advisors, probably, I don't think I'm ever going to need more than 500, maybe. Really fantastic array of advisors with diverse backgrounds who bring different expertise to the table. I think that's going to be plenty.
Cool. Now, let me ask you, I'm going to talk about some potential negatives here, or at least ask you about them. When you're dealing with a fee-only advisor, how much does it cost?
Usually, it's going to cost for, it's changing a lot. There's a lot of pressure for the good of the consumer. Prices are coming down. So financial planning combined with portfolio management, all in, you're looking at, if you have a portfolio and you're looking at, let's say, you know, your assets, let's put it that way, are under $1 million, then you could pay as much as, you know, say $5,000 a year for all in financial planning. That includes some tax planning as well. They may not fill out your tax returns for you, but that includes, you know, pretty much soup to nuts. However, that said, Stacey, we've had plenty of matches who have sat down with a fee-only advisor and said, but I don't need all that. And can we just do something different? Of course. And then they negotiate a fee that's half that. Or I've even had, you know, an advisor who worked with a woman in Pennsylvania who was really cash strapped and she was in her 70s and needed help. And he charged her like $200 for a full out plan that he would normally charge someone, you know, for all the time he put into it. You know, he probably would charge $1,500 or $2,500. So if you're over $1 million and you want your portfolio managed, then you can expect to pay a little bit less than that. Now, that sounds counterintuitive, but it's because when they're calculating their fees and they're looking at, you know, breakpoints, like the more money someone brings over, a lot of times they'll be willing to negotiate the fee percentage wise. So percentage wise, you know, if it's not 1%, it might be 0.75%, better known as 75 basis points or less. So it really just depends. But each advisor is going to sit down and figure out how much time is involved in creating your plan for you and how much complexity. And whether it's going to be an ongoing relationship or is it a one-off?
Yeah, see, I'm concerned about this, though, because now we're talking a lot of money. I mean, a lot of people hearing this podcast don't they're not going to pay $1,500 or $2,500 or $5,000 for financial advice. They can't. It seems like too much. What do they do?
Well, we're talking about financial planning now. We're not talking about investment management. Investment management can be just a simple asset allocation for a lot of people, Vanguard funds. That's not where it's at. Where it's at, Stacey, is the necessary cash flow analysis. You've got somebody who comes in with, they've only got, let's say they have, I don't mean only, but let's say that instead of $1 million, you know, this woman just was divorced and has $500,000 and she can't figure out if she should sell the family home and the timing on Social Security. And it's all so overwhelming. And she has these kids and she's trying to figure. When you look at most people and the complexity and the layers and peel back the onion, then you want a real financial plan. What am I saying? I'm saying you're getting a roadmap. And if you're not going to want to pay $1,500 or $2,500 for a roadmap that's really going to tell you how much money you can afford to spend and whether you should sell or buy that house. And this isn't advice about just your funds. This isn't investment management. This is financial planning. Okay. These are meetings that you're having to give you peace of mind that you're not going to spend through your money.
You know, this reminds me of a story that I did, another TV news story. My wife wanted a new car. I've never bought a new car in my life, but she wanted one, so I bought it for her. So anyway, I decided to turn it into a news story, as I do pretty much everything I do, which is annoying to my wife. But anyway, so what I did was I tried to negotiate the best deal I could myself. I went to one of these, TrueCar, I think it's called, one of these things that, you know, you automatically get a discount, like, you know, at a warehouse store, they give you these things where you automatically get a discount. And then I hired a guy to negotiate the deal for me. And I don't want to say it incorrectly, but I think I paid him $1,200. So all he did for a living was negotiate car deals. And as it turns out, and I like to think that I'm a good negotiator, but as it turns out, bottom line was paying that $1,200 to that guy, and I had to pay him up front, got me a better deal, saved me $1,000, including his fee. You know, I saved $1,000 over what I could do myself. And what I did myself was better than one of those car buying things, you know. But okay. The point is this, though. There's a lot of people out there that are going to go, I can walk in and buy a car for nothing. I mean, I'm not paying a salesman. So why, you know, I'm not going to pay someone $1,200 to do something I can do myself or that someone's willing to do for nothing. And isn't that kind of a parallel? Because we're paying $1,500 to someone, but they could walk in to Merrill Lynch and get their thing done for nothing, even though they're really getting charged commission, but they're not writing a check.
Uh-huh. Therein lies the rub, Stacey. Okay, let's go back to that example. Let's go run the movie backwards, like reverse. Now that person who just went in and paid for $2,500 of advice and consultation and financial planning and like all of kind of road mapping and, you know, what if scenarios and stress testing the plan and how much can I really spend and where should I invest? For all that, they paid the $2,500. But what if that person instead said, I don't need to pay $2,500. I can go into the brokerage firm and get it for free. Right? Come on. What's going to happen at the brokerage firm? You're going to pay twice that. You're never going to know it. You're never going to see it coming because you're not going to get a plan. They're not financial planners. They are salespeople to sell you the products. They're going to say to you, oh, I've got a fund that will absolutely walk the dog and you're going to sleep at night and it's going to make you dinner. And this is a fund that you're going to love. It's an annuity and it's going to, oh my God, you're going to love it. And why would you, oh, you don't have to go get advice. You just need the annuity. Why not? You tell me if that's what you want to do, then that's what's going to happen. So you're not only paying twice, you're paying thrice. You're paying like a lot more. So I think that most people kind of get it by now that there's no free lunch. So you're asking how much do you have to pay? Just like an accountant, you know, any other service, you got to pay for the time. So every advisor is going to negotiate a different fee, but the range of fees, is that something I look at when I'm vetting an advisor? Hell yeah, of course. I've got to look and I've got to make sure that those fees make sense. You know, but $1,500 or $2,500 for great, you know, on like a planning and all of that that's wrapped into that, that tells me, you know, a go plan. That $2,500 probably just saved me $5,000 in that first year let alone going forward. So maybe the next year it's a lot less than that, because the first year we did all the work. But these advisors, Stacey, these fee-only advisors who work for you as your advocate, they don't want short-term. They really have high retention rates for their clients. They want to be your go-to. They want to be the ones to collaborate with you. And they do not want you to walk away and them say, hey, I'll take care of everything, Stacey. You just go away and do what you do. I'll do this. They would rather have you sit down and they want to say, let me show you what we're talking about here, Stacey. And also, can you grab your wife? You know, and if you want to bring your kids in too, at some point to talk about them and their financial literacy. Let's get all this on the table and understand what we're dealing with. What are you afraid of? What's your biggest fear? What are you hoping for? Let's figure this all out. So it's all kind of transparent. For that, you're going to pay a fee. And if not, then you're going to do it yourself. And if you do it yourself, that's cool. I don't like to cut my own hair, but some people do. But I, you know, even me, I want to collaborate with somebody because I want a fresh eyes on my situation.
Okay, now wait, I have to stop you there. For real, you actually employ a financial advisor yourself?
No, I don't employ a financial advisor right now.
Okay.
But as soon as this business gets to a point where I'm going to need to make some serious decisions about my stock options, oh yeah, tax laws have changed, Stacey, and employee stock options in a private company, you can't get the same deductions as you could 3 years ago. So I need to know that, and I need to talk to somebody about it, and I need to run my scenarios by them.
Interesting you say that too, Pam, because I don't have, you know, I don't pay for financial advice. However, I've been a CPA since 1981. I go to an accountant. Why? Because he's up on tax law and I'm not. And tax law changes a lot. So I do see your point. And boy, have you sold me on this concept. I am ready to write a check to a financial advisor right now.
I don't want you to. No, you know what? That's the last thing I want too. I'm not trying to convince somebody who really does enjoy. My brother who passed away, my brother was a steadfast do-it-yourselfer, Vanguard guy his whole life. He never needed an advisor. He's an engineer, and he loved the spreadsheets. He loved doing it. All I'm trying to say is that 85% of the population are not my brother. They're not like him. They are busy people, and they need and want a little collaboration and a solid plan so that they know that, oh my God, I'm not drinking my own Kool-Aid. I have the savings and I figured out, you know, how long I think it's going to last me, but I need to make sure that somebody else who I feel like has the experience and the competency and is qualified will sit down with me and put fresh eyes on it and say, "Up, here's where I see a mistake in your math. Did you see that?"
You're right. You absolutely are right. And Pam, we're just about out of time. I want to go ahead and let everyone know again what your website is. It's WealthRamp, ramp.com. Pam Kruger is our guest today. You can find Pam through my website if you want, moneytalksnews.com, or you can go directly to WealthRamp. If you go through my site, Pam might have to pay me something. JK.
Happy to.
JK, go right to WealthRamp. But folks, I hope you've enjoyed this. Pam, I sure appreciate all the time you've given us. And you have, and you're not coming across as a salesperson. You're coming across as somebody who's passionate about what they're doing. And I think you're doing a hell of a job. Congratulations.
From the heart, and I'm passionate about it. It's all about education. Thank you.
And we will be talking to you again, I hope, Pam, sometime in the future. And to all of you who are listening, thanks so much for tuning in. This is Money with Stacey Johnson. Thanks for listening to our podcast. Take care, guys.